Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now you understand what you're facing in this country. That is a so-called professor at the University of California at Los Angeles named Kent Wong. God only knows what he's a professor of, but he just was celebrating the day that Hispanics will replace those old white men, which he says with derision. And joining him in hating white men is none other than Nancy Pelosi, who compares the Dream Act to the Founding Fathers, saying that the Founding Fathers wanted illegal aliens to come into this country against the law and to enjoy freebies at the expense of taxpayers. You're not going to believe this, but listen to clip 13 now.
A lot of attention is paid to those coming from Latin America, but they've come from all over the world, and many of them to this day do not know whether what their legal status is. Some find out in a most unfortunate way when ICE shows up at their door to say you weren't born here, because their parents may not have told them that. But their identity is all American. Some of them don't even speak the language of the country of origin of their parents.
No, and Nancy, most of them don't even speak the language of the land, but that wouldn't bother you as long as you have more grist for your mill. Listen to this one now.
If you have ever been to a Dream Act occasion when young people come together and speak about their love for America, you will hear
and then loop back
anthems
to 11
of patriotism that again would make you so very, very proud, and how it echoes what our founders had in mind.
We will win the Dream Act soon, very soon, and when that day comes, we will celebrate with millions and millions of people across this country who stand with you tonight, who stand for justice, who stand for democracy, who stand for equal opportunities for all. And when that day happens, the young leaders of this Dream Act movement will go on to accomplish great things with your lives. You will go on to lead important organizations. You will go on to become lawyers and teachers and doctors and members of the U.S. Senate to replace those old white men.
Now you know the hatred in the streets being stirred up by UCLA professors like Kent Wong, the hatred being stirred up by the ACLU, the hatred being stirred up by La Raza, the hatred being stirred up like, well, in so many different ways. Border Patrol agent murdered in Arizona. Won't make it to your morning newspaper because it doesn't fit the protocols of their agenda. U.S. Border Patrol is reporting today they rounded up four suspects in the shooting death of one of its white agents in the Peck Canyon area of southern Arizona. But, of course, they won't identify the suspects because you're liable to put two and two together and come up with why they sound just like those who want the Dream Act. Other news in the Savage Nation: House votes to overturn military's don't ask, don't tell policy. The Marine boss says the repeal may cost limbs. Although the fat old men and women of the House of Representatives, who don't represent the American people, but represent the special perverted interests, the special twisted interests, the special financial interests, the special interests of everything un-American and anti-American, the chief of the Marine Corps has a different opinion. He said a distraction of the gay issue serving openly could cost Marines their limbs. Using graphic imagery and his strongest language to date, the new Marine Corps commandant spoke out again Tuesday against the repeal of the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell, this time saying that the law, if it's changed, would risk maiming Marines because of the distraction. He says, I don't want to lose any Marines to the distraction. I don't want to have any Marines that I'm visiting in Bethesda Naval Medical Center with no legs be the result of any type of distraction. Now, I guess this flies in the face of the Nancy Pants folks in the House of Representatives, who, as you well know, could care less about the Marines, less about the Air Force and Army, and care only about advancing the special interests and their agenda. In other stories, Iran is threatening to hang American generals. The so-called leader of Iran's powerful Revolutionary Guard promises American generals will be killed by hanging as revenge for attacks on two of his country's leading nuclear scientists. Boo, boo, hoo. Also, there's a Stuxnet virus that apparently has been released on Iran's computers that has set back their nuclear program a couple of years, and we don't know the origin of the Stuxnet virus. The one thing we're pretty sure of is it wasn't created or released by the people at WikiLeaks who want to destroy America and the West. Stuxnet saves Israel trouble of Iran strike. It appears the Stuxnet computer virus may have done more harm to Iran's nuclear program than even the most savage of airstrikes could have. A report in the Jerusalem Post quotes a German computer expert saying the Stuxnet virus set Iran's nuclear program back 2 years. I know that will depress the ACLU and depress the American left, but the Jews no longer have to live in the fear of being annihilated again, at least for a few years, despite the help of the American left working with the Iranians. 1-800-449-8255. I know most of you are not interested in any of this because it's holiday time and you're looking at free shipping and what they say. I understand America. Believe me, I do. I'm an American at the end of the day. But the fact of the matter is this news is pretty profound, and the American left is as active as ever, and they usually do things in the still of the night, as most despots do. And you have to be very, very focused on what they're trying to do during these months that they are called a so-called lame duck Congress. They're not lame and they're not ducks. They're very much alive, and they're trying to do something, then give us a duck here for our dinner. Most people do not understand the danger we are in. In fact, I was bicycling today, and I took a breather. I'm trying to heal my back. This is the strangest thing in the world. I can't sleep, but I can bicycle. I can't move, but I can bicycle. The strange thing, when I bicycle, I feel good, but when I sit down, I don't feel good. So I'm bicycling today, and I come to a halt, take off the helmet, and push the bike around a mall that I go to. And two men, middle-aged guys, very nice guys, they stop and they say, "There he is! There's my hero! There's the man! There's the man!" I say, "Yeah, just, okay, fine, great." And we start to talk, and there are a couple of guys who are conservatives as I am, stuck in a psychopathic left-wing county that is ruled by the likes of Nancy Pelosi and Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein. This type of individual represents us. In other words, we feel as though we're living in another country and we have no representation. So we had a nice time talking, and I said, "Doesn't it strike you as odd that these people walk around not even understanding the danger they're in?" And both men said the same thing. They don't understand how grown-ups cannot understand the danger they're in. How they walk around thinking that the freedoms they enjoy are going to be here forever. That the freedoms they enjoy came sort of along with their birthright. Not understanding that men died for the freedoms that we're all enjoying, and that men are dying today for the freedoms that we're all enjoying, whether or not we accept it or not. We're in an epic battle for our survival and our freedom against Islamic fascism. I know we can't use the word Islamic with fascism anymore. I know we can't say these words together, but you know what? If the words apply, I'll use them. Islamofascists would end the freedoms that you know. They would impose medieval laws on this country that would take us back 500 years. They would put women in costumes that belong on. They would turn women into chattel again. They would do so many things, and yet the liberals don't seem to understand it. They seem to hate instead Christianity. The liberals seem to hate the family, the nuclear family. The liberals hate everything that is good and embrace everything that is evil. And so if you call yourself a liberal, my friend, I don't understand where you're coming from. But the fact of the matter is, there are tens of millions of Americans who understand the danger we are in. There are tens of millions of Americans who went to the polls and threw 70 of the bums into the gutter during the election. There are tens of millions of Americans who think that Obama should be impeached. There are tens of millions of Americans who do not like that they are continuing to spend like drunken sailors, and that includes the phony check pants Republicans as well, who, despite what just happened, are doing it all over again just as I predicted they would. And I reminded my two new friends today in the market, in the streets of the mall, that I was not shocked by what the Republicans are doing today under Mitch the Gobbler McConnell or under John the Crybaby Boehner. I was not shocked by what they're doing, because I said, don't you remember what I said on the Savage Nation soon after Scott Brown won Kennedy's seat in Massachusetts? I said, do you remember people were cheering, oh, he's going to be the president. Oh, we should elect him for the president. We have a hero now, Scott Brown. Well, old Mike Savage watched Scott Brown for a day or two, and he drew a different conclusion. Your friend Michael Savage watched Scott Brown and said, wait a minute, not so fast. This guy's been in politics for 16 or 17 years in Massachusetts. My prediction is that he's going to vote as often against your interests as for your interests, and he's going to disappoint you. And sure enough, within a few weeks, he voted with the liberals. And then, of course, you haven't heard from Scott Brown since, have you? It's as though he never was elected. And why is that? It's because I watch too much television. I admit that I based that conclusion about Scott Brown on a Showtime television series called The Brotherhood, which was about politicians in Massachusetts. So I admit that I draw a lot of conclusions about life from art, because very often, I'm sorry to tell you, life imitates art. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We are playing Big Girls Don't Cry in honor of the new Republican leadership. We're about to play Mitch the Gobbler McConnell in a crying jag. Listen to this one.
Now, to say that I had to convince Judd to stay is an understatement. But he knew it was his time to move on and to write the next chapter in his life. And while senators come and go all the time, I can't help but note that when Judd walks out of this chamber, when he walks out of this chamber for the last time, he'll leave an enormous void behind. And so I'll close.
So that's Mitch McConnell crying over Judd Gregg's departure. I don't even know who Judd Gregg is. And now the day will be incomplete unless I play John Boehner crying. Listen to this now.
There's some things that are very difficult to talk about. Family, kids. I can't go to a school anymore. I used to go to a lot of schools. And you see all these little kids run around. Can't talk about it.
Why?
Making sure that these kids have a shot at the American dream, like I did.
You hear?
It's important.
Do you hear this? Can you believe what you're listening to? Two of the most powerful men on the earth are breaking down in tears on women's television shows. And we're sitting here saying, how could this be going on? How did I have no words for this. They're sending boys to die in Iran, and they're breaking down in tears like sissies on women's television shows. Why don't you send them over there, since they want the war so bad? Put Mitch McConnell in a uniform. Make him General McConnell. Put John Boehner in a uniform. Make him General Boehner. Let them go over there. And then if they decide that we should have a war, let the whole Senate go over there and the whole Congress go over there. Otherwise, bring everyone home and free every man who's been accused of a court-martial-like offense. Okay, free everybody up out of the stockade first. And don't worry so much about the human rights of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. That's the country I'm living in today. And I have to go to a black tie event tonight with a ripped back like this. But I will go in service to my country and my because I will have some because I will have a lot to report tomorrow. I mean, I don't know why I even did this. I did it for 10 friends. It's my combination book party, Christmas party, end of year party, Mrs. S's birthday, New Year's Eve, all in one tonight. And I will drink too much champagne, I promise you that, because there's nothing like, I suppose, champagne to cure a backache, because at a certain point you forget you even have a back. Now, I must tell you that I should tell you this because you're not interested in news. I mean, you want to talk about the Stuxnet virus or whatever, the Dream Act or whatever. I know you'd rather hear me talk about my backache than anything else, which I don't understand human beings anymore. For example, there's a guy on television who no one can understand how a man of his low intelligence could get so far, who keeps coming up with illnesses that he has. God struck him blind, but with the prayers of the audience, his sight came back at a Mormon hospital. Then he loses it, and then the other one. So I, at the risk of sounding too much like the blackboard guy or whatever, so I get the body worker here last night after the show. I come home after the radio show. Pain is terrible. And I get the body work. Now, I told you I don't like massage. Many in my family like massage. And we're not talking about one with a happy ending. We're talking about a regular massage, an unhappy ending. And they're all an unhappy ending, because usually the pain is worse, not better. I get the body work. Now, she comes highly recommended. I get on the table. The table's warmed for me. The dog doesn't know where I am. He's like jumping up and looking everywhere. I have to tell him, don't worry, I'm okay, blah, blah, blah. Now, she's a very nice person, and she's very intuitive. She knew just where to go to cause me the most intense pain. I don't know how they know it. They know about these pressure points through some kind of Asian secrets that she learned by studying in an institute. Every point she touched, I almost jumped off the table. I said, please, stop with the deep tissue. Stop with the Rolfing. I don't want Rolfing. I like, okay, that's as deep as I will go. Now breathe. Breathe into that pain, she said, as I lay there on the table in a deep sweat from increased pain.
Savage.
Will go on to lead important organizations, who will go on to become lawyers and teachers and doctors and members of the U.S. Senate to replace those old white men.
You will hear anthems of patriotism that, again, would make you so very, very proud, and how it echoes what our founders had in mind.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Just like
I am really surprised that the ACLU hasn't sued to stop the singing of White Christmas in malls and other places in America, because it is quite ethnocentric when you think about it. I mean, why should it be called a white Christmas? I think snow itself is offensive when you think about it. I mean, if snow were a rainbow color, I mean, I could see that it would be all-inclusive, but it isn't. It's of a certain color. And that unto itself might offend certain people, you know, in America. But you don't want to hear it. Hey, where is everybody today? New York, WOR, Ronnie, welcome to the Savage Nation. Gone with the Wind, Ronnie's gone. Tom is here. Tom is here. Tom, go ahead, please.
Hey, thanks, Michael. Michael, before I get to snacks, I have three recommendations for your back.
Oh, please. No, I don't want any recommendations for my back. Please, no calls on my back. Please, I beg of you.
Okay,
I'll just make one commitment. I will not use what Rush Limbaugh used, okay? I promise you.
How about Jack Daniels or?
How about I promise my audience I will not take the route that Rush used for back pain?
Oh, I know you won't do that.
I value my survival too much in my hearing. But go on, please.
Michael, on Stutniks, I spoke to a pretty smart programmer. I am not one, and he said this could be a false message from the Hitler from hell, Ahmadinejad. That he might be, because we'll lower our.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because the economic...
He's pretty smart. You got to understand that the Persians have been around a very long time, as opposed to our crybabies in Washington.
Yeah, John Boehner's off to a bad start, Michael.
What do you think the crying jags are between? Are they on medication?
Must be Michael. Three crying spells.
No, no, wait. Let's talk. You got Mitch the Gobbler McConnell crying. You got John Boehner breaking down every other day on women's shows. Are they on some type of medication? Is there a doctor in the house who can tell us if one of the side effects of any medication is some kind of crying jag?
Well, it's part of the political correctness, Michael. White males, we're so guilty. We've just got to walk around crying.
Well, I haven't heard that message myself. Well, look, the fact of the matter is, with regard to the Stuxnet virus that has allegedly paralyzed the nuclear weapons program of Iran, without a viable warhead, their delivery systems aren't really worth very much, right?
Yeah, but this could be a false message. We want to keep up those ever-so-effective economic sanctions. They're really working, Michael.
Well, I wonder. Do you think that there's a connection between Israel and the existence of the Stuxnet virus, if it's real?
Hey, Michael, I pray that it's real and it's effective, but if it's a false message...
Well, I would pray that it is, and that would mean we could put up on the scoreboard Israel 1, Iran 0.
That's right. And if we could take them down with a computer virus, that's the best...
Wait a minute. Something just occurred to me, Tom. I thought Iran was not making nuclear weapons. They've been saying this all the time. They said they want nuclear technology for electrical power.
Yeah.
Didn't I hear them say they didn't want weapons?
Yeah, he's working on the cure for cancer, Michael. Ahmadinejad, he's a great guy. Yeah, we got to let him run.
Well, but here's the real problem. Look, let me apply my intelligence, Tom. Irrespective of whether the Stuxnet virus really crippled the Iranian nuclear warheads, the real processing is happening in North Korea in an environment which is much less likely to be attacked by America or Israel. And I think the Iranian facilities may be strategic decoys. I believe the Iranians are, in fact, safely testing missiles, and they're conducting military exercises, and I think they're developing and testing nuclear-capable warhead designs in North Korea. That's what really worries me. But go tell that to Nancy Pelosi, who's busy with the DREAM Act. Go tell that with John Boehner and the others who are busy bilking the Treasury for even billions of dollars more.
North Korea and Iran are partners, Michael. I think they're working in unison. I agree with you.
Well, all I can say is George Bush is the responsible party, again. No matter what the reinvention may be from Russian wallbanger, when North Korea first shot their missile into the China Sea as a warning, I went on this show and I said, why are we not firing missiles from our Navy, taking down their towers, their launch towers right now? Send a message to North Korea right now. Nothing was done by George Bush, so we can't just blame Obama, can we?
Yeah, but Michael, they killed 45 sailors, South Korean sailors. That should have been the start of action right there. What about those sailors?
No, I know that's South Korea's problem. It's not mine. How come South Korea's doing nothing? They have the ROK troops. They're very tough. The ROK troops, well, I don't know how tough they are anymore. I know that 15, 20 years ago, they were amongst the toughest troops in the world. But I've spoken to American servicemen who've been on the border with North Korea who tell me that today the ROK troops are not what they were 15 years ago when Korea was still a very, very tough nation, South Korea, that is.
Yeah, Michael, we need real partners. It can't be just the United States. We need true partners.
It's too big a problem for me. I appreciate it, really. This is too much for me to bear. How can I balance the whole world on my shoulders? I'm only a talk show host. How could it be that I know what I'm talking about and presidents don't? Or is it possible that they know what they're talking about and I don't? So let's assume that that's true, that the latter is true, that they know what they're doing and I'm not. So in other words, it's in America's interest to let North Korea develop nuclear weapons, and it's in America's interest to let Iran develop nuclear weapons, and it's in America's interest to let the military become decimated by political correctness. So therefore, they're right and I'm wrong? No, you know that that's not true. At the risk of your displeasure, I have to say it until eventually you hear me. I was proven right on my health care chapter in Trickle-Up Poverty, and a federal judge supported the fact that it's unconstitutional. But what I'm really waiting for is somebody to finally move and understand that Obama's conducting a daily war against our military and our national security. It's a true nightmare, and it's all related to Obama's Marxist-Leninist roots. And Obama's war on the military and our national security could not be more important than it is today, as they are working around the clock to force the START Treaty to be accepted, which in many ways would be the worst insanity I have ever seen in my entire life. if the START Treaty is passed, which many Republicans want to pass, by the way, I believe that America will have capitulated in the same way that Britain capitulated under Chamberlain to Hitler. That's my firm opinion. Now, I know you may not want to call about it, and it's, you know, something that's too complicated for this time of year. And I realize that anyone who stands up to authorities today is considered a danger to society. I get that. I truly understand that the idea of standing up to authority makes you somewhat suspect to the authorities. In fact, there's a clinical psychologist named Bruce Levine who wrote a book that deals with this issue of anti-authoritarian clients who are being diagnosed by the healthcare authorities as suffering from, listen to this one, oppositional defiant disorder, or ADHD. In other words, if you stand up to authority, the evil psychiatric establishment is now declaring you mentally ill, saying you're suffering from oppositional defiant disorder. They're doing it to your children, too. If your child stands up to a mean teacher, a sick teacher, a crazy teacher, a perverted teacher, they can tell the school nurse, who's another whack job, that your child is suffering from an illness called oppositional defiant disorder, and then they can recommend that your child or you be put on medication. We are now moving into the period where there's no return from this period in America. If you are going to live in a society that breaks people's willingness to stand up to evil, calling it oppositional defiant disorder, or will break you down in other ways, they're going to turn you into a victim, and you'll never come back from it, and it will get much worse. And whether you're dealing with it at work, where if you stand up to, let's say, diversity training, or you're dealing with it in a school environment, or you're trying to rebel against truly destructive people in this society who have authority, and they're declaring you suffering from oppositional defiant disorder and recommending that you be treated by a psychiatrist or put on a medication, I want to remind you, the ex-Soviet Union put dissidents in mental hospitals. They declared them to be mentally ill because they didn't see the beauties of the Soviet system. We're only a hairbreadth away from that. If we don't stop the psychiatric profession, the medical profession, the drugging professions from pushing us down this road, and that requires you, the parents, to stand up to them when they say your child has ADD or ADHD, you have to resist them at every turn. And I hate to keep telling you, but I've been fighting that battle since 1980-81 when my children were young, and I wrote Healing Children Naturally because this book was written to fight the forces that were trying to put kids on Ritalin then. I saw what was going on. I saw it in the schools. If you think that my kids went through school without me and Mrs. S. fighting with them, you're mistaken. We had to fight these degenerates every step of the way, and I call them degenerates because, to me, they're social degenerates. If they want to tell you that your child, who has a spirit, if your child has spunk, if your child has the ability to reason that they have something wrong with them, then I call the people who say that degenerates, and I stand by those words. So it's only gotten worse. It's not gotten better. And I want you to think about what I'm saying to you. The desire and the ability to resist authority is the mark of a free man. The desire to stand up to authority is the mark of an independent individual. The desire to stand up to both Republicans and Democrats who are screwing us day and night is the mark of a sane man. You can call me anything you want, but I will tell you that they're not going to make me into a helpless idiot and go beg them for government help. I won't do it. And that's why I'm in the trouble I'm in. That's why I was banned from Britain, because I stood up to the degenerate government of Gordon Brown. And they dared say to me, no, you're a dangerous man. You're an evil man, Michael Savage. You're an evil, dangerous man because you stood up to socialism. Well, here I am. I'm still here. I'm still not able to go over there for their incredible cuisine of fish and chips. And also, as I say, their superb dental work and medical care, which I've sorely missed now these 2 years. Had I only been able to visit London, who knows what great dental care I might have had or what great medical care. I might not even have a backache today had I been able to visit the great doctors of England. But having said that, this is not a laughing matter. They declare you a criminal for standing up to their criminal behavior and their criminal insanity. So who's the criminal? Tell me who the criminal is and tell me who the victim is. And that leads us right back to today. What do you want to talk about? Boehner crying, McConnell crying, the Stuxnet virus, North Korea, South Korea, kimchi, Tiger Bomb. Any topic is fair game when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Look, I got callers. You don't think I don't? I mean, the lights are lit up. I could tell right away by the... See, I have a system here at the Savage Nation that I don't know how on it, but I have, like, you know, like a call screen. It says what you're on the line for. And then I have the 10 lines and the red lights are on. You could tell how many people have called. But I can sense, I have a fourth or fifth sense about radio after all these years. I had it from the day I started. My guess is that the audience right now, not only to this show, but all of talk radio is off by 30% to 40%, maybe higher, because of the shopping and the traveling, and people could care less, and the election's over. It'll come back, of course, after the holidays. And then amongst the 60% or so that are still left listening to talk radio, I'm guessing now, a good 50% of you are zoned out, and you're somewhere else. You're not interested in politics. And that's why Pelosi and company are still trying to get away with the DREAM Act. That's why Boehner is, whatever his name is crying. Because they figure you're not listening. It's sort of like an in-house joke, the whole thing. There are a lot of headlines, you know, but you know the news, right? You know all the news. You know all the news already about Stuxnet and Al-Qaeda wants to attack us during Christmas. That's new every day. Al-Qaeda plans Christmas attacks, according to confessions from those captured in Iraq. Not captured by Americans, because they couldn't do anything but give them a halal meal. But apparently the ones that got caught in Iraq, they gave them a little more than waterboarding. They gave them probably a drag through the desert on the back of a camel, and then flayed them, and then gave them a little other treatment, and then they said, yeah, we'll give up the secrets. It's like the Lenny Bruce joke. Like, they bring out the hot lead and the funnel, I'll make up secrets. So we don't know whether they're real or whatever, because they don't mess around in Iraq. I mean, when they saw the lead, the hot lead in the funnel come out, they said, yes, yes, whatever you say, we're going to attack for Christmas. But why are we sitting here waiting for them to attack is the part that bothers me. What the heck is our military for? You never heard of a preemptive strike against your enemies? Oh, we don't have an enemy? I keep hearing again from the defense chief and from the joint chiefs, we don't know who the enemy is. We never met the enemy. We have no enemy. There is no enemy. We can't call them by any name. There is no enemy. These are lone wolves. No matter how many of them there may be, there's nothing to worry about. The most important thing is don't ask, don't tell being repealed. So don't ask me anything about terrorism, because it doesn't exist. There's no direct threat, although there's an indirect threat, but give us another $1 trillion for weapon systems that we don't need. But I'm going to go to work for Martin Marietta the minute I quit. So make sure that $100 million a day goes into their coffers. If not them, make sure Lockheed gets another $500 billion. In any case, we'll never use the weapons, because we don't know who the enemy is. There is no terrorism. We have no problems. Just send the boys over there. And if they actually shoot the enemy in the midst of a battle, don't you worry. We'll make certain that Al-Qaeda and the Taliban are protected, because we'll issue a court-martial against our own troops before we actually find out what happened. We'll put our boys behind bars for at least 20 years, and you'll never hear a word about it because of the vermin in the media, which we own. Sacramento, Troy, well, that's how I see things. That's how I see the world. What else is here in the news? I don't even know anymore. Larry King again. I must tell you, I don't know the man, but I truly thought that he died during the Eisenhower years. I don't know. What do you mean his last show? I thought Larry King disappeared during the Eisenhower administration. How could he still be on? The man drools. Have you noticed? And it could happen to me one day. How do they keep him on? He drools during a show. Spittle actually comes out of the corners of his mouth. And I don't mean from medication. I'm supposed just simply from old age and the inability to control his oral cavity, because he's used it so specifically for so many years. What else do we have? Hey, whatever happened to Blagojevich? I could use Blagojevich for this time of year. He would be very entertaining, don't you think? Why did he suddenly dummy up and disappear? I think it had something to do with the fact that he was trying to call Obama onto the, right? All of a sudden, where did the Blagojevich case go? Is anyone from Chicago listening? Where are you today? Normally you call, you drive me crazy from WIND. They don't stop calling from Chicago. Are they still on the air? I don't even know anymore. Every day I get more Chicago callers than anyone except New York. New York, Chicago, very heavy. But where is the Blagojevich trial? Why did the prosecutor, the U.S. Attorney Fitzpatrick, all of a sudden, you don't hear from him anymore? Remember with the big case? Then they were going to call Rahm Emanuel? No. Then they were going to call Obama? No. Now the case, I think they pushed it away because I think Blagojevich really threatened to go to the mats and, you know, call these guys. All of a sudden, the case got forgotten. It's a very suspicious thing. I mean, I don't know. Where is Blagojevich now that we need him? 1-800-449-8255. Sacramento, California. The land of make-believe. Troy, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. You know, I think that the that this Bonnier crying thing that he does, where he cries so readily in public, he does it so much that I almost think that he's gone to school for it, and is doing it intentionally. And it could actually, as bizarre as it is, work in favor of the fiscal conservatives, because when it comes time to do what they wanted to do in the early 90s when Gingrich was there, things like get rid of the Department of Education, Federal Department of Education, when they attack him, when they attack this Bonner, he's going to turn on the waterworks, and he's already done it when the press attacked.
So you're saying he's doing this so they can't call him mean-spirited like they did Gingrich?
Yeah, exactly.
You mean you can't call a man who's crying mean-spirited? I think you could call him a mean-spirited crybaby. I mean, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think it's kind of, it's kind of not manly for a man to break down on the floor of Congress every other day. And Mitch McConnell now crying over something. You'd be afraid of them if you were the Taliban living in a cave in western Pakistan?
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Bad news for you. This just came out minutes ago. Senator Jim DeMint, a man I greatly admire, has just ran for cover. He backed off threats to force a reading of the new START arms reduction treaty. He caved into Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. And apparently the wonderful leaders we have in Congress are going to pass a spending bill that will bankrupt your great-grandchildren and also capitulate to the Russians and turn us into a client state of the New World Order. Now that I've given you the bad news, we can go on to the show. This is The Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Mike in San Diego, you're first up. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. First thing I want to say is thank you for being the light at the end of this snake hole that we're all trying to get through. Thank you very much for that. And I wanted to tell you that because of you, I joined the military, and I've got a much broader perspective, and I can see the bigger picture. And I wanted to make a connection for you between the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy and the DREAM Act. I'm in the military.
Well, Mike, before you do it, both are very important. I really think that we better watch out right now because Pelosi and Reid are liable to turn us into a client state of the New World Order. If they pass the START Treaty, we're finished. It's the equivalent of Chamberlain giving in to Hitler at Munich. I'm telling you, this is dangerous. These people are now approaching the level of traitors. We have to stop the START Treaty. We have to talk about the START Treaty. We have to send 10 million emails to our senators and say, don't ratify START. There should be 10 million people in the streets if they do this to us. Pelosi and Reid and the Republicans are committing a criminal act by ratifying the START Treaty. Do you understand how dangerous this treaty is? Do you know what's in it?
I you know what? Honestly, I have to say that I do not. But
I'm sending you a copy of Trickle Up Poverty, Mike. Stay on the air. I'm going to read you. I'm going to go on. I am now going to do something I didn't plan on doing. I'm going to filibuster on the Savage Nation until all of America wakes up and tells their congressman, their senator, they're going to throw them out of office if they pass START. Are you ready for this? What is actually in the START Treaty? Are you ready? Page 269. At the outset of this book, I describe Barack Obama as a destructive child who, in his ignorance, takes apart a watch and cannot put it back together. With regard to his reckless dismantling of our military, there's no quick solution to rebuild it. If and when this child president wakes up one morning and finds America under attack, it will be too late to start rebuilding what he has torn down. Why do I say this? On April 8, 2010, Obama the Destroyer attacked America's sovereignty and safety by signing the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, START, in Prague, Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic, with Russian President Medvedev. Let's not mince words. This treaty is the work of the mentally disordered left. If the U.S. Senate ratifies the treaty, America will have to slash our nuclear arsenal by 33% while cutting in half the number of missiles, the submarine fleet, and our strategic bombers that deliver them. You might want to read that again. I want to pause right there. Have you seen in writing anywhere except in Trickle Up Poverty what I just read to you? The answer is no. The answer is it is not being published anywhere because they want to hide it. The Senate just said that Nancy Pelosi and company in the House and her friends in the Senate are going to spend all weekend trying to smash America into the ground. Now, Congress's job approval rating is the worst in Gallup history. I understand that. That means nothing to me. If you let the Senate ratify what Obama has signed, I'm telling you, with the equivalent of Britain in 1939. Do you realize what will happen? Do you have any idea what's going to happen to your safety and your children's safety? I'll say it again. The START Treaty, if ratified by the Senate under Harry Reid, who I don't know if he's working for the other side now, I'm starting to have the terrible, eerie feeling that Harry Reid is not just a liberal, but he's actually playing for the other team. I have a fear that if this passes, we're finished as a nation. We've been nullified without firing a shot by the enemy. Because if the U.S. Senate ratifies the START Treaty, America will have to slash our nuclear arsenal by 33% while cutting in half the number of missiles, the submarine fleet, and our strategic bombers that deliver them. Page 269 of Trickle Up Poverty. Right now, I'm going to read the next paragraph until you finally understand you have to stop wrapping presents. You have to get on the email and you have to write your congressman, your senator rather, right now and say, don't pass START or stop START or we'll throw you out of office. Remember, we stopped the Dubai ports deal when George Bush tried to destroy us. Remember, George Bush tried to shaft us with the Dubai ports deal and you stopped him. You did it. You did it. You just threw 70 congressmen out. You can stop the START Treaty. Let me read this to you. It gets worse. As bad as these cuts are in terms of our national security, the Obama regime has further handcuffed America's position on how we can use what few nuclear weapons we still possess. As detailed in the 2010 Nuclear Posture Review, the United States will not use or threaten to use nuclear weapons against non-nuclear weapon states that are party to the NPT and in compliance with their nuclear non-proliferation obligations, close quote. Do you know what that means? In other words, if we're attacked with chemical or biological weapons, Obama has promised he won't retaliate with nuclear weapons as long as this nation is in compliance with the START Treaty. That's insane. Likewise, as one columnist points out, if some terrorist group linked to a Middle Eastern country murders millions of Americans by blowing up domestic nuclear power plants or through germ warfare such as with anthrax, a nuclear retaliatory strike is now off limits. Tell me Obama's reckless NPR policy won't embolden our adversaries. The president is backing America into an obscure corner rather than stepping out with strength onto the world stage. What's more, His delusions may play well with the liberal press corps, but in the real world, the world of Chinese militarism, Russian gangsterism, Iranian adventurism, and Islamist imperialism, he is viewed as the caretaker of a declining hyperpower. By these rules, we would still be fighting Japan in the Pacific. Here's what Obama the Naive has clearly forgotten. I'm reading now from the most important pages in Trickle Up Poverty. I am begging you. I'm begging you to get a copy. I don't care if you buy it. I don't care if you have to borrow it. I don't care if you have to copy it from a friend. I'm begging you to print Obama's War on the Military. I'm begging you to buy a copy for Christmas. I'm begging you to email your senators and tell them to stop, start, or we'll throw you out of office. You can't let Harry Reid, who apparently now is working for the opposition, to do this. I really used to think Harry Reid was simply a liberal. I now fear the man is working for the enemy. I now fear Pelosi is in the pocket of the enemy. I now fear that half the Republicans are receiving money from foreign powers. I now fear them as much as I fear Obama, the destroyer. I want to read a little further because I have very little time left in this hour on the Savage Nation. I'm going to read this to you. Please listen to me. Here's what Obama the Naive has clearly forgotten. One reason America got rid of her chemical and biological weapons, remember we got rid of them, is that we were told that we would always have the nuclear deterrent available. And now, thanks to this feckless president, we don't have that option. The enemy within is very sly. Over the years, this anti-nuke, anti-military enemy within has said, oh, listen, you can get rid of your chemical and biological weapons, America, because you have so many nukes. You can always attack a country that attacks you with chemical and biological weapons. You don't need chemical or biological weapons yourself. You can use your nukes, they said. Now we find out that we can't even use our nukes because Obama the destroyer has taken that option off the table, with the exception of North Korea and Iran. This is unsettling news to Americans, the overwhelming majority of whom believe Obama's nuclear stance is a sign of weakness and sets the stage for an attack on our soil. According to one poll taken after Obama announced his new NPR position, 60% of Americans say they think it likely Obama's new policy pronouncement will result in attacks on the U.S. Why am I not entirely surprised that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton takes the Obama view? Clinton, remember, praised this news as a good day for America and our security because we do not need such large arsenals. I say nonsense. I say utter rubbish. Now, I know conservatives who take Hillary's position. I have heard unthinking conservatives, I would call them knee-jerk conservatives, who don't have the time or the inclination to actually read these treaties, as I have done for you. I would say that they're naive themselves when they say, look, we have tens of thousands of nuclear weapons. Don't be silly. We don't need all of them. We'll just be cutting the redundant ones. We'll just be cutting those that are actually, let us say, inoperable. Don't worry about a thing, they're saying. They're actually buying Obama the Destroyer's lies, hook, line, and sinker. This nuclear disarmament in START is on top of the fact that Obama has already put a wrecking ball to the defense budget and stopped a comprehensive missile defense system for our allies in Europe. Do you remember that he cast several nations to the wind last spring? And now, in the name of diplomacy and his race to turn us into a third-rate military power on par with Krapistan, Obama the Destroyer is destroying our nuclear capacity precisely when Iran and North Korea are building up their nuclear capabilities and China is racing to develop more advanced nuclear-armed submarines. While Obama is axing away at our missile defense, China is working overtime to build up its missile defense system. In January 2010, the Chinese military conducted a successful test launch of an ABM interceptor missile. I got to stop right here, because I don't know if you're even listening to me. I have such a terrible feeling in my guts right now by what I'm reading that once again, even though you threw 70 rotten, stinking, traitorous Democrats on the street, Pelosi is back to her tricks again. That although Harry Reid lost 70 of his party members, what did I say to you? What did I say to you? I said to you that the enemies of your freedom will consider that collateral damage and they're going to force their agenda down our throats before the year is out. I warned you this would happen. And there's only so much one man can do. there's only so much Paul Revere in me. There's only so many days I can get on the air and beg you to do something other than be a dumb moron sitting there listening to radio. There's only so many days that I have left on this planet to stop this madness before we are all serfs in our own time. I have done all I can do. I do a daily show. I have written a book that tried to warn America, and I don't see it having an effect. Yes, we had an effect at the election. Yes, 70 of the Democrat socialists were thrown out. And take a look what we got. We've got people working for the other team, Harry Reid and the others in the Senate, now trying to jam through a star treaty that will render us impotent on the world stage. Again, I'm going to ask you, and only once more today, get a copy of Trickle Up Poverty from a friend. Copy these pages. Email them, fax them to Congress. Say stop, start, or we'll throw you out. Make it simple. Send it to Henry. Send it to DeMint. Send it to every Republican left. Send it to every Democrat senator. Stop, start, or throw you out. Stop, start, or we throw you out. Stop, start, or we throw you out. Stop, start, or we throw you out. Write that message down. Don't write long messages. Don't be like Philadelphia lawyers who never went to high school who think they're geniuses and write five-page legal letters. The smart ones write two-line legal letters. Stop, start, or we throw you out. I'll be back.
Savage.
I'd like to say welcome back to the Savage Nation, but I'm afraid many of you turned the show off. Well, no, that would mean you wouldn't have heard it. If you would have turned it off, you wouldn't be here. Because the Senate just said they're going to stay in session over the weekend in order to make sure that we are impotent as a nation. And I'm starting to fear that Harry Reid is working for the opposing team. This is no longer liberal, Republican, conservative, Democrat. This is now something on another order altogether. For them to jam through health care, and we know that that was a socialist maneuver on the part of Pelosi and company, now they want to push through their agenda items like the Star Treaty without even discussing it, without giving the American people a chance to understand what they mean by it. I spent a year writing the book. I researched it. Does anyone listening to this show think it's a good idea to slash our nuclear submarine fleet by 50% while China is right now building up a nuclear submarine fleet? Does anyone listening to the show think it's the right time, without any real thought, to slash our strategic bombers by 50% while we have so many enemies around the world who want to see us virtually nullified? Does anyone on this planet with a sound brain think that it's a good idea that we should eliminate nuclear weapons when we can't use chemical or biological weapons against anybody who has signed the Nuclear Posture Review, the NPR? I'm sorry, the NPT? You don't know what any of these terms are because the people in the media have kept you blind and stupid, including Fox News. Fox News doesn't want you to know what's in this. They want you to go along with the same program. It's not because they may not even themselves have taken the time to study this. I did. So what do you want me to do today? You want me to joke around? I can't joke around. We're in trouble. We have people in Congress who are playing for the other side. And if they're not overtly playing for the other side, they may as well be playing for the other side. They may as well be playing for the opposition. Harry Reid looks to me for all manner, he may as well be working for China and Russia. Nancy Pelosi looks to me like she may as well be in the pocket of China and Russia. Obama, that's a given. He's a Marxist-Leninist from the get-go. From out of the gate, the guy was a Marxist-Leninist. He was in the womb listening to Karl Marx. She probably played Karl Marx lullabies in the womb.
Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of the Savage Nation. Thank you.
A-Train and the Savage Nation, the great Duke Ellington. Then we're going to go to something else and something else and something else.
Heart and soul.
It is the Savage Nation. Combination doo-wop, jazz. Give me a little Mel Allen. It's a high fly ball. I want to go back to my childhood. That's it. I want to live in the past.
Going, it is gone.
Oh, thank you, Mel. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Walking around with a transistor radio, crew cut haircut, a little kid with corduroy pants, innocent, no sexual feelings, nothing. All that was on my head was baseball. But now it's a different story. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? There's so many problems. Who asked for this? I should disappear into the ethers. White Hat, West Palm Beach, Jupiter. Maybe I should go to Jupiter instead of Jupiter, Florida. You know that most of America walks around like they don't even know what's going on. They don't know where Iran is. If you said Iran, Ahmadinejad, Hitler, they wouldn't know if you were talking about a baseball team or if you were talking about science fiction. They go to malls. All they want to do is Jingle Bells. Can you blame them? It's the way most people are, actually, when you think about it. So why can't I be like most people? Answer, because I never was. I've always had the weight of the world on my shoulders. Even when I was a little kid in the Bronx, they said, that one has the weight of his shoulders, the weight of the world on his shoulders. That one has the weight of the world on his shoulders. That one. They always said that one. Can you play See the USA in a Chevrolet with Donna? What's her name? Donna Reed. I want to hear See the USA. That's all.
USA in your
That's
Chevrolet.
It.
America is asking you to call.
That's when there still was a Chevrolet.
Through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
And they made the, turn it off already. It's another time. You know, it's like Gillette. Friday night fights. Everything was different. It was a different world. Hasn't been to a dog getting run over by your own car in the driveway. Horrible is the doctor tells you you have bowel cancer and 6 months to live. Horrible is an emergency room. So I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. But I am in my own way. I am in my own way. You see the latest story out here? A mortgage plan that will freeze certain subprime interest rates for 5 years. Now, on the face of it, you say, wow, how compassionate. A three-pronged solution to stem the flow of mortgage foreclosures. Now, let me ask you something. How many of these who are about to go into foreclosure are illegal aliens? Does anyone ask that question but me? Answer, no. The government, as you well know, was forcing banks to lend to people who were not only illegal aliens, but unqualified for a mortgage. And if they didn't lend, the banks didn't lend the money to people who didn't qualify, they were going to be sued by various divisions of the U.S. government. Now they're about to go belly up, and who's going to bail them out? The very same government that said, you must lend money to them. Now who's going to pay for the bailout? You and I. You and I. Now, what about stronger lending standards? Like when I was young and I wanted to get a mortgage, I couldn't afford one. They wouldn't give me one. Why? Because I couldn't qualify. Why couldn't I qualify? I didn't have sufficient income. Therefore, I couldn't buy a house. But you see, everything's changed in the new PC America. And so you have a socialist-light government that said to banks for years, you lend money to illegal aliens or we will sue you. In fact, you can't even ask the so-called citizenship status of a potential borrower, or will sue you for racism. So the banks were over a barrel. They said, but. The government said, we'll give it to you in the you-know-what, unless you lend it to the illegal alien, and unless you lend it to people who don't qualify. So Michael Savage again asks the question it's a question no one is going to ask. How many of these people in a subprime mortgage crisis are illegal aliens? How many of these people are those that banks were forced to lend to? Could you do me a favor and explain to the audience through music why I said very bad year? And so in order to do that, you have to play three things for me in this order. You have to play Mel Allen, you have to play Johnny Philip Morris, and then you have to come back to me with a doo-wop song. Go ahead, see if you can do that.
The drive hits the deep right field. That ball is going, it is gone.
Yep, whip,
heartache, Secret message. Come in, Berlin. Berlin, come in. Berlin, calling Berlin. This is a secret coded message to the right wing in America. It's dip, 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 dip. If you read the first letter of each word and reverse them with lemon juice, you'll see what I'm actually saying. Come in, Berlin. Berlin, come in. Crazy leftists. They actually believe me. I'm tearing this off. I don't go for this. I don't go for it. Now, the first mortgage that this family ever got was my father in 1954 or 5. He bought a house for $14,500 in Queens, New York. And the mortgage, you had to put down, I think, 20 or 25% at the least in those days, right? So what did he have to put down, like $3,000? It was a lot of money in those days. And then he took out a mortgage, and then he paid off the house. He had to qualify for the mortgage, and if he couldn't qualify, they wouldn't have given it to him. And he paid off the house, and that was the end of it. In those days, my father wouldn't buy a car on time because he said that was cheating. Can you imagine the thoughts of those guys in those days? A mortgage you had to pay off because who had cash to pay a whole house off? Nobody. Unless you worked for some people on a certain street that you ate spaghetti on. But the fact is, nobody really that we knew had those kind of cash in the wallpaper in Belrose, Queens. So we didn't, and we had to take a mortgage. But the fact of the matter is, a car was another story. You bought a used car and you paid cash. Why? Because if you bought it on time, you were cheating. And you couldn't really afford it and you were a faker. That means 99.9% of the people on the road today wouldn't have a car. I mean, you got to be crazy not to pay a car off, you know? Boise, Idaho, DJ, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I'm like, I'm only 26 years old, and I can't relax in a restaurant. But what about a movie theater? Those are the worst for me. I just cringe because right when I sit down, I see a family with five or six kids that just want to talk throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, they think it's their personal video experience in their living room. Well, in my day, we had ushers that went around with a flashlight, and they put it in your eye if you talked. That didn't always work, but, you know, we mocked the ushers, or we threw candy at them, you know. I mean, we weren't all dolls, believe me. But we knew not to talk because the other kids would have gotten into a fight with us if we talked. There was self-control because the audience would have controlled you otherwise.
Well, now I look around, and it's like I'm the only one that cares. The audience doesn't seem to care. It's like I'm weird because I'm upset that these parents want to
talk. Yeah, I can't even go to. I go to a movie very seldom. I try to go very late at night or off. You know, I went to two movies in the whole year. That's what I watch at home, you know. What do you expect in a movie theater? The lowest common denominator is in a movie theater. They're not the highest. They're not generally not working people. They're either senior citizens or looking for the senior, you know, the $5 ticket. You ever see them line up at 12:30, the Social Security crowd? You don't want to be in there after a Medicare a meal, I tell you that. You don't want to be in that because they cut back on the air conditioning. You could die in these theaters. I had it in the elevator last week, too, in the building I'm in. You don't want to go in those elevators. It's owned by some conglomerate from Boston. I'm in San Francisco, and they told the management not to put the fan on in the elevator. You could just die if you get in the wrong time of day after the seniors had visited for the medication, whatever they give them, Metamucil. I don't you know, you take your life in your hand in the elevator. What are you going to do? I don't mean when they're in there with you. I'm talking about after they get out and you get in and the elevator starts to climb. What are you going to do at that point? It's like San Quentin. It's like the gas chamber. I mean, there's nothing you could do. You're finished at that point. You got to climb, you know, a certain number of stories. You come out with your eyes smarting and gagging. But that's people today. They don't care. They don't care. What do they care if the next guy's going to come in and gag? They actually do it on purpose. You know, I thought about dogs last night. I got to tell you this. I'm not going to go in my dog is great, but my dog is great. This 10-pound poodle, Teddy. I was mad at him for 2 days. I gave him the cold shoulder. He was hurt by it because he peed all over the house from 24. I think it scared him. With the atomic bomb and the screaming and the shooting and the yelling. What I had to clean up for 2 days around the house, little hidden areas there. But I forgave him. Now we're friends again. Now every morning I get up, it's the same thing. He sits on this pink chair. I have a recliner that I bought. I don't know how they let this store into Marin County. All the libs were like mad at it. Lazy Boy. When Lazy Boy opened in Marin County, all the phony snobs, ooh, we can't have that in our county. That's not classy. I went and I bought a beautiful recliner that is so ugly, it's unbelievable.
It's like ugly chair. Every house must have an ugly chair. That's the only chair you actually wind up sitting in. Beautiful chairs nobody will sit in. If they do, you have to worry that you're going to stain it, you know, with something. But the ugly chair you could sit in, you can eat in it, you can drink in it, coffee could spill on it, doesn't matter. This chair is so comfortable that Teddy took it over. It's his chair. So every morning it's a pink recliner from Lazy Boy. He jumps on the chair and he puts his back up against it and he gives me his two paws out, I swear to God, and he does it. I taught him how to do high five. Give me five. And we do like it. We play. Like I do the hands back and forth. Give me five, give me four, give me three. He loves this game. He could have been a circus dog. My dog could have been anything. I wonder how he is. He had a little growth underneath his private part that was worrying me a little bit. He went to the vet today. I don't even know how it came out. You know, maybe we should get the vet on the show, see how Teddy's private parts are, because I want to breed him this year. I don't want him to disappear. How? You know, once in a few hundred thousand years, a perfect animal comes along. How could his genes be lost? He's like Western civilization himself, my dog. We got to breed this dog. I got to have five or six puppies and keep two of them. I'm not going to sell them. You think I'm going to sell them and have a liberal buy them? Oh, yeah, I want. And they're going to send me pictures of them being mauled in a pit bull arena to torture me? No. I would never sell puppies. No, I couldn't do it, you know, because I don't know how they'll be used. I'll keep a couple of them. So I'm becoming like dog, more and more doggy. I mean, I love the dogs. I just love them so much. Because you can trust them. I thought about it last night, his eyes. Now that he like, you know, like he knows I like him again after the peeing thing where I gave him the cold shoulder. Dogs' eyes are very interesting. If you don't abuse your dog, you only get a couple of emotions out of him. But none of them are hate. Did you realize what I just said to you? Most dogs don't know how to hate. Yeah, you could train a dog to hate. I'm not talking about that. In general, in a normal house, a dog has a set of emotions that you could see in their eyes. Admiration, love, happiness. Maybe it's sometimes a little hurt when you leave them and you're going to go out and be a human without them. They don't understand it because they think that they're you. Why can't you take me to that wedding tonight, Dad? What is wrong with you? I'm as good as you. I know, son, but not everybody sees the world the way you do. Not everybody wants short, furry creatures running around at weddings or in restaurants. You'll have to just stay home. So you get those, but you never get hate. Does dog ever look at you with hatred? No. Which is why we love them. You understand that? Well, you should have a dog. And by the way, don't trust people who don't have dogs. The tiny lump under his testicles turns out to be benign. There's nothing there. So, I mean, it was pretty worrisome because there's a little tiny lump there. And like any living creature, you know, or the way of all flesh, you worry. You know, maybe the little guy has cancer or something. But it turns out he's probably bitten by some bug and it scabbed over and it disappeared. But he sure enjoyed licking himself down there all the months that he thought of. He had a justification. Look, who can blame him, you know? I think the reason we're not dogs, or one of the reasons that they are dogs, is they can do that, however you look at it. I mean, normal men can't do that. That's why we're not dogs. If we were double jointed like that, we probably would be dogs. So God made it so you can't do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you have an animal, it's amazing to watch how they behave. Even a little thing like a bite in their private parts, what they do with. I'm just elated. I'm not felinophobic, don't get me wrong. I'm not exactly a felinophile. But I prefer dogs because dogs to me are covert and cats dogs are overt and cats are covert. Cats remind me of people in Pacific Heights or in the San Francisco government. Everything they do is hidden and secretive. It's like choir gate. They're trying to sweep it into the cat litter box, but I kind of doubt that that's where it's going to end up. You know, they're like cats in this city, like cats that are really dirty, that gussy themselves up with Da Vinci dresses, but behind it, you know, that there's dirty underwear. That's what the whole city reminds me of. The miners came in 49 and 51, the whores. You ever hear that? Mark Twain wrote it. I'm sure many of you love it. I didn't write it. Mark Twain did, before the Fairness Doctrine. That's not a dirty word. In 51, he said in 49, the miners came, in 51, the whores. And then he says, and then something evolved from it. It's called Pacific Heights. That's how they run San Francisco. But they put on dresses from back east, you know, we have one of the best Opry's west of the Hudson and the Mississippi River. We put on quite a symphony out here. Oh, it's so out of town that I love it. There's no bigger small town than San Francisco. I wouldn't mind if they were patriotic or Americana. But my God, how could they be so anti-American? It's hard to believe.
everything that's family-oriented they despise. They spit on the flag, the Boy Scouts. But thank God Teddy's okay, that's all. I can't wait to see the little guy after the show. Go home, talk to him. Say, Teddy, I am so glad you went to the doctor and you don't have a tumor under your private parts, but stop licking them already. There's no excuse anymore. You can't say, Dad, it itches, or Dad, there's a problem. You're just being a dirtbag if you keep doing it, Ted. I can't do that because I'll give him a complex. I think you can give dogs a complex. They are very sensitive to criticism. Oh, my God. They're like liberals. Liberals are very good at pretending they don't care what you say to them, but boy, do they care. Whoa, they're thin-skinned. Goodbye, jobs. Hello, mom and dad, say young adults. New story. Many young adults are turning to an old standby to weather the recession, moving back with mom and dad. So although they go out to clubs at night and they have the gelled hair and they look cool, they're really going back to the same room that they were in before they went to college. Instead of looking for a job and making their mother and father's life a little easier. So maybe I should ask that question. It might be more fun than all the news. You can puke from the news. You can get sick from it. You get crazy from it. You could actually get ill if you look at the news like I have to do every day. So I'll focus on goodbye jobs, hello mom and dad, say young adults. We're talking about kids that went to college, I don't know what they majored in, probably SOS 101 or poli-sci. Whenever you hear SOS or poli-sci, you know that they're going to be barristers. It's a new word for a coffee. And look, when I go into a coffee place and there's a young person, you think I sneer at them? I don't. But please, don't ask them their opinion on world affairs. Do me a favor. Don't ask their opinion on anything, for that matter. They're still in diapers. They may look like a man, but they're still in diaper. They're still in diapers. How old were you when you had your first kid? 24, 25, 26? I had two kids before I was 30. I was working three jobs. Okay, I didn't ask for a handout from the government. I didn't go to Aunt Sam and say, give me a check so I could go out at night with gelled hair. I also wanted a new Porsche with a bib on it in 1982. But you know what? I said, that's not that important to look like a moron driving around with a Porsche with a bib on it. Nothing against a Porsche nor a bib. My children needed a bib, not a Porsche. I had my priorities right. Now, 1 in 7 parents with grown children say they had a boomerang kid move back home in the last year, according to a study released by the Pew Research Center. So if the liberal Pew Research Center says it's 1 in 7 of a grown kid coming back home to be a goon in the bed again, a grown goon who probably doesn't get up in the morning, I guarantee you they stay in bed till 11 waiting for the mother to bring them a cup of coffee. Oh, at a rough night, yeah. Well, but this is typical in Italy anyway. I mean, there's nothing unusual about it when you think about it. Many parents like having a grown-up and a child there. They love it. It's sort of a Munchausen by proxy thing. You know, like, you heard about Munchausen by proxy, didn't you? The mother, it's usually the mother, who creates symptoms in a child. They want the child to be sick. They actually make the child sick in order to have a sick child around. That's a Munchausen by proxy. Now, I don't know what name I could give adult children, 18 to 29, who no longer live alone, but they've gone home to mom and dad. I don't know what you'd call it. I wouldn't call it Munchausen by proxy. I'd call it deadbeat by proxy. Maybe the parents turn them into a person who can't make a living. But that's the sign of the times.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, the blaring headline today is a nice Christmas present for all of you with your heads up your sand.
Al-Qaeda plans Christmas attacks in the United States and Europe. Don't you love tolerance? Isn't it nice to sit here like a beaten housewife waiting for us? Iraqi authorities say two captured insurgents admit to planned suicide attacks in the U.S. and Europe during Christmas season. Confessions from captured insurgents. Insurgents? I wouldn't call them insurgents. Iraqi Interior Minister blah 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 told the Associated Pukes that the botched bombing in central Stockholm last weekend was among the alleged plots the so-called insurgents revealed. Iraqi Foreign Minister whatever, in a telephone interview from New York, called the claims a critical threat. Both men said Iraq has informed Interpol of the alleged plots and alerted authorities in the United States and European countries of the possible danger. Now, of course, they don't know which countries in Europe or which cities. There was no way to verify the terrorist claims because, of course, they're not allowed to use waterboarding anymore, thanks to you liberals. So perhaps there'll be a bomb in your soup as a result of your liberalism. Let's hope not. But here we go. Remember, it was last year, Christmas Day, when the underwear bomber from Nigeria, Umar Farouk, whatever, tried to blow up a Detroit-bound airliner. It was on Christmas Day. Several of these terrorists claimed to be part of a cell that took its orders directly from Al-Qaeda's central leadership. He said at least one of the captured suspects was a foreign terrorist from Tunisia. These confessions, by the way, were the result of recent operations by Iraqi security forces that have grabbed at least 73 suspected terrorist operatives in the last 2 weeks. So there it is. Let's pray that they catch them before they do it. But the fact of the matter is that the attempted suicide bombing in Stockholm was the first of the plots, and that these guys then admitted that more are coming. Isn't it nice sitting here waiting for the attacks instead of taking a preemptive attack against them? We know where they're training. We know where they live. We know where their villages are. What is this nonsense, what leadership we have? So that's the big one. Of course, you're not interested in that. I don't know what the American people are interested in anymore. It's hard to say with so many people on medication and on marijuana and on... I just don't know. I think the country is just beaten up. Now to the audio in the Savage Nation. President Obama is out there defending his tax plan compromise with the Republicans, and even he takes pains to point out that it isn't perfect.
I am absolutely convinced that this tax cut plan, while not perfect, will help grow our economy and create jobs in the private sector. It'll help lift up middle-class families who will no longer need to worry about a New Year's Day tax hike. It will offer emergency relief to help tide folks over until they find another job. And it includes tax cuts to make college more affordable, help parents provide for their children, and help businesses, large and small, expand and hire.
I'd like to know who Obama's been talking to. He's really not fighting against Republicans. He's really trying to whip his own party into line. And now he's demanding that they pass the tax reform bill.
I know there are different aspects of this plan to which members of Congress on both sides of the aisle object. That's the nature of compromise. But we worked hard to negotiate an agreement that's a win for middle-class families and a win for our economy. And we can't afford to let it fall victim to either delay or defeat. So I urge members of Congress to pass these tax cuts as swiftly as possible.
That means he's a fiscal conservative. And speaking of one-term presidents, Jimmy Carter talked about the biggest mistake of his presidency, the fact that he was a one-termer. You hear this? Not what he did wrong.
Well, I guess my biggest failure was not getting reelected. And I learned two things. One is that you ought not to ever let American hostages be held for 444 days in a foreign country without extracting them. I did the best I could, but I failed.
Now, this you're not going to believe. At a rally at UCLA, a professor talked about how the DREAM Act will help accomplish their dream of replacing old white men. His name is UCLA Professor Kent Wong. You want to know what hate is? You want to know what hate is? Listen to him say you will go on and become lawyers, teachers, doctors, and members of the U.S. Senate to replace those old white men. You want to know what hate is? It's coming from the mouth of liberal fascists like Kent Wong and the others who have infected our universities with their hatred, in my opinion.
We will win the DREAM Act soon, very soon. And when that day comes, we will celebrate with millions and millions of people across this country who stand with you tonight, who stand for justice, who stand for democracy, who stand for equal opportunities for all. And when that day happens, the young leaders of this DREAM Act movement will go on to accomplish great things with your lives. You will go on to lead important organizations. You will go on to become lawyers and teachers and doctors and members of the U.S. Senate to replace those old white men.
The professor here spoke to a cheering crowd about getting all the illegal aliens to become fully documented American citizens.
You represent the hope and future of your generation, and so we will celebrate soon, very soon, the passage of the DREAM Act. We will celebrate soon, very soon, full rights for all undocumented immigrants in this country. Thank you very much.
And who's helping them? Nancy Pelosi. She defended the DREAM Act on the House floor, saying that this is what the Founding Fathers would have wanted. Really? The Founding Fathers were in favor of illegal aliens. That's interesting.
If you have ever been to a DREAM Act occasion when young people come together and speak about their love for America, you will hear anthems of patriotism that, again, would make you so very, very proud, and how it echoes what our founders had in mind.
This is what the Founding Fathers envisioned, Nancy? My only question to Nancy Pelosi is, why does she care about what those old white men would have thought? I've never seen a curse like the Segway. All over the city, morons on Segway. Who would ride that? Would your father have ever ridden a Segway? I could just imagine what my father would have said if he saw a grown putz driving around with a Segway on a sidewalk. I could just hear him to this day in the DeSoto driving to work, grimly holding onto the wheel with an ashen face, facing another day in the market with uncertainty because there was no socialism then. Nothing, no health care, no Medicare, nothing. He had to do it all on his own. But he sees a grown man, a schmuck, driving around in a two-wheeled Segway blocking traffic with a pair of shorts on. What a putz, he would say. I don't even have the words for it. My favorite one here in San Francisco, whoever rents these should be arrested. They should put into San Quentin for what they do. There are little three-wheeler bumper cars that they rent, and you see people in helmets riding around on regular roadways, and you ask yourself as you're trying to drive to a studio or to work, what moron would get pleasure riding around in a bumper car on a street with a helmet on? And they look, they're riding around looking, oh, there's a building, there's a park, there's a dog, there's a tree. What do they see? Well, you see the schmucks in a bus that they cut the top off, whatever they call, one of the sightseeing buses. Whatever they look, everything they look at is a brilliant thing to them. They ride by, there's a building, here's an area where it's very well known for coffee, look at the camera, every minute the camera comes out. Over here, the area where the taffy was made originally in 1940, click, right? Over here, the telegraph was invented by another. Who's going to look at all these pictures? Who are they taking them for? Is there somebody back in Minneapolis who actually wants to see anything they took a picture of? The things they really want to see pictures of, the guy wouldn't show you to begin with. That has to be discovered by the FBI by going into his hard drive. But the pictures they do show you, you saw 14,000 times already. And the bus goes by. I hear the beatnik went by, put a needle in his behind, right in this spot. And he had a heroin overdose in this sewer. And the bookstore. I never saw anything. But the little cars are so dangerous. Why would anybody even legalize them? Three wheels, they're yellow. They look like ugly little hornets. And usually it's two morons, two stupid idiots with helmets on. Everything they're looking at. Look at the dog. There's the building built in 1918. It was occupied by somebody you never heard of. But I guarantee if I tell you the name, they're going to take the picture. On and on and on.
Savage.
Judge rules that this book is correct, that Obamacare is unconstitutional. Which book? Trickle Up Poverty. Fed sue school for refusing teachers pilgrimage to Mecca. You hear this? That's what the federal government's involved with. Another soldier is fighting for his freedom. Please help him. It's on the bottom on michaelsavage.com. In London, a Jewish surgeon refuses to operate on a patient with a Nazi tattoo. I can't operate on this man. I am Jewish, the doctor said, leaving the patient anesthetized, and he found a senior colleague who then performed a successful operation. Well, that's putting your scalpel where your mouth is. Hamas leader vows group will never recognize Israel. No kidding. Gee, and I thought that they really wanted peace. This you're not going to believe. I don't know if I can ask you to watch this story and take a look at the face of the father, the animal father, the man who looks like a beast from another planet. You ready for this one? The father dropped his child in boiling water. From the injuries on the baby, I think he did it intentionally, said the boy's aunt. I feel like he tortured him. Take a look at the face.
Oh, my God.
Woman who targeted Alan West held without bail. It's an amazing story. You got to read the story because you got to catch up on it. German police raid homes linked to Islamist groups. Really? My, how unliberal of them. Why didn't they let the poor fellows build their bombs and blow up schools before arresting them? After all, that would be the liberal German thing to do, wouldn't it, Doug? Is let them set off the bombs. That way you know for sure that they were going to do it, right? Foreigners are flocking to Florida for real estate bargains. Good luck to him. What bargains? Madoff's wife says her husband's shame drove her son to suicide. Terrible story. I can't even comment on it. 1-800-449-8255. Michelle Obama is up to it again. She signed into law the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act of 2010. Telling kids they have to lose weight because it's a national security issue while she eats hamburgers and fries. Obama's reelection campaign could hit $1 billion. Well, that's nothing to George Soros. Kissinger told Nixon he did not care if the Soviets gassed Jews. No, I swear to you, this is a shocking story. I found it on Newsmax, put it on Michael Savage. There was a discussion from 1973 between President Nixon and his top foreign policy advisor, Henry Kissinger. Now, they're trying to paint Nixon as the real, real, real bad guy, but in it, the tape says Nixon says he doesn't care if the Soviets gas Jews. We can't care about it. Now, remember, Kissinger is of Jewish descent of a family who escaped Hitler's Germany in the gas chambers. Can you believe this? No, it's in here. Did you hear any of this? In a conversation at the White House, Kissinger, the then National Security Advisor to President Nixon, remarked, quote, "The emigration of Jews from the Soviet Union is not an objective of American foreign policy." And, Kissinger said, "If they put Jews into gas chambers in the Soviet Union, it is not an American concern, maybe a humanitarian concern," close quote. Nixon said, "I know, we can't blow up the whole world because of it." So there it is. The typical response from the ADL National Director, Abraham Foxman, was to attack Nixon, not to attack Kissinger. Play some rock and roll for me. Give me a lightning. Eddie, my love. How about Eddie, my love? I need a lightening up. I need a leavening. I need some cornstarch. I need cornstarch. I need breadcrumbs. I need some nice breadcrumbs. I'm trying to resist eating dinner again tonight. If I eat like this every night, I'll be 250 pounds by. Basically like a monk. Horribly bored after a show. Don't go anywhere. Just me and the dog looking out saying, what did I do wrong? Why am I not out there, you know, giving lectures? I mean, I could be all over the globe. Well, not all over the globe. I can't be in England. I could be all over America giving speeches. I don't do it. I don't like to travel. I don't like, you know, after a show. But when I do come out, I eat a lot. I drink too much. I eat too much. Mildi Briyashi, that's the stuff, you know what I'm saying? But I knew I'd pay for it today. I paid for it. Not by showtime. That's the beauty of late-in-the-day radio. You can get away with murder the night before. I don't mean murder. You can get away with a big meal and a lot of wine because by the time the show comes around, your body has kicked it out already. Oh, if I had to do a morning show, oh, God, horrible. I had a mig on me by 3 in the morning. It was a criminal mig from the wine. I knew I shouldn't have done it. It was a tough day. I've had a rough couple of weeks. And I decided yesterday I was going to really let go. So here I am. I feel terrific, though. I feel terrific. I don't know what it is. The double lever ready, you know, the double lever ready at work. It's the peasant stock. It must be the immigrant peasant stock in me that works. There's something to be said for immigrant peasant stock. It works. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't want to be a blue blood. Look at Prince Charles. Take a look at him with the ears. Is that his son getting... I don't know who that kid is, what they're making. The girls are getting nuts about him on MSNBC. Every minute it's about another royal. I don't really don't pay any attention to them. Why is that a big story? The royal this, who gives a darn? Why do I care about some kid in England who was born into wealth? I think he even hates that he was born into wealth. If he got to do it all over again, I guarantee he'd rather go to a community college in Los Angeles and just go out with a chick from Sunset Boulevard and be left alone. You feel the lull. Do you feel the lull? Because I feel a lull. You feel a lull. Do you feel yourself getting drifting around now because I'm drifting around?
Savage.
Iran is not waiting to see what Obama's going to do. They feel emboldened by Obama's doing nothing. Joining us with his opinion on this is Eric Stackelback with an exclusive report.
Michael, always a pleasure to be here. This week, I wanted to continue a conversation you and I have been having about Iran. Now, in past weeks, we've discussed here on the show that Iran has a significant presence here in the Western Hemisphere in South America. Now, they've set up bases in Venezuela. Hugo Chavez's Venezuela to our south in our backyard. Iran has a major presence there. Now we learn this week that they're actually placing missiles in Venezuela. And I wonder where those missiles will be pointed. So we have a serious threat in our backyard with Iran, with Hezbollah training in Venezuela. Chavez, big, big problem. So I want to pick up on Iran, and we shared inside information last time with you about Venezuela's axis, the Venezuela-Iran axis. This time I want to take it a step further. Fascinating stuff, Michael. An interview I conducted last week with a former member of Iran's Revolutionary Guards Corps.
Well, who is this Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps?
The IRGC, the Revolutionary Guards, are the most influential, notorious, and powerful arm of that Iranian regime. They are feared. There's about 100,000 of these Revolutionary Guards in Iran, just to give everyone a little backdrop about who they are. About 100,000 of them, they're a military unit, but they are separate from the regular Iranian military. They are an elite force that answers only to Iran's supreme leader. Now, they were created 30 years ago on the heels of the Iranian Revolution. They were created by the Ayatollah Khomeini, and over the last three decades, they've increased in power in every sector of Iran.
Well, like what?
Military, the intelligence, domestic spying and intelligence inside Iran. These are the guys who were behind the cracking of skulls of protesters in the streets of Tehran. That is, the Revolutionary Guards oversees the torture, the domestic spying inside Iran. They oversee the international terrorism that Iran has engaged in so frequently over the years, including in the West, assassinating Iranian dissidents in Europe, attacking Jewish community centers and Israeli targets in South America. This has the Revolutionary Guards' fingerprints all over it. This is who they are. The Iranian relationship with Hezbollah, Revolutionary Guards facilitates that relationship. The same with Hamas. These are nasty, nasty actors, and they're also heavily involved in Iran's economy.
Hmm.
They have managed to build, Michael, the Revolutionary Guards have gone from, you know, a grassroots kind of just thuggery, kind of like a brown shirts type organization. You think back to the Nazis, Hitler surrounded himself with these brown shirt thugs to crack skulls. This is what the Revolutionary Guards started out as. They were founded by the mullahs, by the Ayatollah in 79 as the guardians of the Iranian Revolution. But they've grown, and how they've grown. As I said, 100,000 members, and now they have a multi-billion dollar business empire worldwide. So it's almost like the brown shirts have taken over the country, and you have the Ayatollahs, you have the Revolutionary Guards, you have Ahmadinejad. That is the main power base there. So that's a backdrop. They're a fearsome, fascinating, their inner workings, their structure, fearsome organization. No Western intelligence agencies, Michael, over the past 30 years have really had any luck penetrating the structure of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, one of the most dangerous organizations in the world. But I talked to recently a guy who did exactly that.
Well, who's that?
He goes by the name of Reza Khalili. That's not his real name. He was a former member of Iran's Revolutionary Guards Corps who flipped and worked undercover for the American CIA against the Iranian regime throughout the 1980s. Michael, this was one of the most fascinating interviews I've ever done. Reza Khalili came into our studio here at CBN in D.C. wearing a disguise, a surgical mask, sunglasses, a baseball cap. We had to alter his voice for when the interview hit air. But the revelations he told, for years working for the CIA inside the Revolutionary Guards at their headquarters, unbelievable. He laid out the Revolutionary Guards, number one, the ideology. The main point he made, Michael, was American administrations from Carter, who he had particular criticism for. Carter created this whole mess in Iran. From Carter, even to Reagan dropped the ball with Iran, and now to Obama, which is the worst of them yet.
Why do you say that?
They don't understand the ideology. This former member of the Revolutionary Guards, who was weaned on that very ideology, made this point to me in our interview, Michael, time and time again. The Americans don't understand the ideology. These people are messianic zealots. They believe what they say. When they talk about ushering in the end times, ushering in the Islamic Messiah, the 12th Imam, they call him the Mahdi, destroying Israel, America's days are numbered. They really believe this. They really mean it. You know, the left and the bureaucrats here in Washington, D.C. say, oh, they can't really mean that stuff. No one's really that much of a religious zealot. They're not really willing to die for this stuff or sacrifice millions of Iranians to make this happen, are they? Yes, they are. And people in Washington better start to wrap their heads around it. They mean what they say. The ideology is at the core of the Revolutionary Guards of the Iranian regime, the culture of what they call martyrdom.
Oh, right.
This former member, Reza Khalili, in our interview stressed every day clerics in Iran would lecture, would galvanize the Revolutionary Guards with tales of martyrdom, of the Islamic heroes of the past, of following the Prophet Muhammad into heaven with Allah. They were inundated with this propaganda from a young age every single day. And they believe it. They truly believe it. And they truly mean it. And this was a key point. People need to understand the culture of martyrdom is central to the Iranian regime's ideology. You can't negotiate with these people. You cannot trust these people. Because another thing that's central to their ideology and their worldview, according to this former member of the Revolutionary Guards who I interviewed, is taqiyya.
What is that?
Now, that's a term in Arabic. In English, taqiyya means deception. You are permitted to lie to non-Muslims, to the infidel, if it benefits Islam. So that is that strategy. We've seen it time and time again with the Iranian government's dealings with the naive West, the European and U.S. governments. They use taqiyya, deception, to hoodwink the West, to prolong sanctions and diplomacy and dialogue and all this nonsense, it's not going to go anywhere. They're buying time until they acquire a nuclear weapon.
Exactly.
And that brings me to one of the most important points and newsworthy points of my interview with Reza Khalili, this former Iranian Revolutionary Guards member, exclusive interview. Iran, in his estimations, based on his time inside the regime, knowing their ideology, knowing their worldview, he is convinced, Michael, that when they acquire a nuclear weapon, and they are close, they've had some setbacks, but they're close, when they acquire that nuclear capability, number one, they will use it against Israel, and they will use it against European capitals. The Europeans may forget, they are now in range of Iranian missiles.
Oh my God.
Pretty soon, Iran will have intercontinental missiles with the help of their friends in Russia, China, North Korea, what have you. So we will also be in range. And as I said at the top of the interview, they're in Venezuela now. Iranian missiles are being shipped to Venezuela. We're going to have a Cuban Missile Crisis type situation to our south in the not-too-distant future. But if Iran acquires that nuclear capability, they will use it. They don't mind sacrificing 20 million, 30 million Iranians. It's a big country. It's a young country. 70, 80 million people, young population. The way the clerics in Iran look at it, these zealots, Ahmadinejad, who's not a cleric, but the supreme leader there and his fellow clerics, and Ahmadinejad, the Revolutionary Guards, they will sacrifice 20 to 30 million of their fellow Iranians if it accomplishes the greater good, in their eyes, of wiping Israel off the map, wiping America off the map. You're not dealing with rational people here. You're not dealing with the Soviets during the Cold War, mutually assured destruction. That's not the case. These guys don't fear death, the Iranians. And the mullahs will send waves of 10, 12, 15-year-old kids to their deaths. They did it during the Iran-Iraq War. They would send 12-year-old kids to clear minefields, telling them they'd go to paradise. And they believed it. So they will use nuclear weapons.
This is unbelievable to me.
I have to give you some direct quotes here, Michael, from the interview. He said that he worked in Europe, several years in Europe, in the Islamic communities in Europe, and he said the most shocking thing he saw there was Iran's operation out of the mosques. They are used as recruitment centers. They're used for backdoor meetings, transfers of arms and cash, and putting together terrorist activities. And this former member of Iran's Revolutionary Guard says he was involved in some of these very meetings. He says in the U.S. they run a complex operation working hand-in-hand with Islamic communities, Islamic cultural centers, and non-profits. And in Europe, they recruit. And in the U.S., he says they recruit, they train, they sell the ideology of martyrdom. Doesn't matter, Shiite, Sunni, whatever the predominance is at the mosque, the Iranians have a presence in mosques throughout the West. This guy was involved in operations in the mosques, in the Islamic communities in the West, so he saw it firsthand.
Oh my God.
Fascinating interview overall, Michael. I encourage everyone to check it out. I actually did a 30-minute special episode of my show, Stackelbeck on Terror, where I just sat down with Reza Khalili, this former member of Iran's Revolutionary Guards. He's got a great new book out called A Time to Betray. I encourage everyone to read it. Couldn't put it down. A lot of revelations in there about the 1983 Beirut barracks bombing, about Iranian terrorism in the West, about Iran's links to Syria and the illicit activities they're up to. A lot of dirt, a lot of inside information. It's fascinating. Check out our interview, cbnnews.com. The show is called Stackelbeck on Terror, Inside Iran's Revolutionary Guards.
Thanks for the report, Eric.
Michael, thanks again. Always a pleasure.
Every day, another example. We are not safer under this administration in any way. Now they're trying to pass the START Treaty. You must read Trickle Up Poverty and see for yourself how dangerous this administration is. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Obama vacation on hold as Congress battles. New spending bill totals $1.1 trillion. You hear this? Senate passes tax bill 81-19, House to vote Thursday. The spending won't stop.
Spending won't stop no matter what you do, no matter who you send to Washington. It's the same thing. So all the new guys you sent in don't matter. Headline on MichaelSavage.com, Boxer and Feinstein take big pork back home and tax bill. That's right, the fraudulent liberals from San Francisco claim to be Democrats. They voted with the Republicans on the tax bill, and they made sure that there was enough pork to take back home for the Boxer and Feinstein contributors. Then there's the issue of the video on Michael Savage from Fox News that's shocking. You have to see it. It's frightening. Guy walks into a school board meeting in Florida, pulls out a gun, points it at the school board members, says he's going to kill them, and they actually try to reason with him. None of them scream. None of them panic. It's amazing to watch. These are the good old boys from Florida as opposed to, could you imagine, God forbid, if somebody did this in San Francisco or one of the liberal bastions, the begging that would have gone on in that room? And guess who stopped the madman with the gun at the school board meeting? It was a school guard who was armed. He was a retired policeman. It wasn't a member of the ACLU with a legal brief. I got to tell you this as a side note. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. A Savage Display of Conservative Intellectual Firepower by Ted Nugent. And here's what he says. If Dirty Harry wrote books instead of blowing away bad guys, he would have written Trickle Up Poverty. Thankfully, Michael Savage wrote it instead. Instead of wielding a .44 Magnum Smith & Wesson and cleaning up the streets of San Francisco like Dirty Harry, Mr. Savage banged away on the keyboard with Magnum Force and wrote a conservative Magnum Manifesto in Trickle Up Poverty. While relaxing in my deer blind waiting to put an arrow through the pump station of an ultra-alert Texas white-tailed deer, I read Mr. Savage's new book. Instead of my predator eyes scanning the Texas brush for the slightest hint of movement, I found myself focused instead on Mr. Savage's dead-eye truth and common-sense words. This may have been the very first time in my hunting life that my predator attention was focused completely on something other than grocery shopping for a white-tailed deer. Many of us know Mr. Savage as the irrepressible, intelligent, and highly entertaining AM radio talk show tour de force. His radio program is the antidote for all things politically correct, status quo, brain dead, and anti-freedom. Mr. Savage's no-holds-barred radio speech got him banned from entering the UK after some liberal, limey, socialist bureaucrat claimed Savage is a provocateur of hate speech. Addicted to free speech and logic, Winston Churchill would have fired the limey bureaucrat and recommended that the Queen make Mr. Savage a knight. In typical left-wing slash-and-burn politics, liberal goons can't stand an opposing argument and self-evident truth, which is why they resort to squawking about how conservatives are racist, homophobic, and the standard whining when no sound argument can be offered. I'm reading again from Ted Nugent's review of Trickle Up Pop, which crushes these numbskulls in an avalanche of historical references, conservative ideology, and common sense. The truth contained in Trickle Up Poverty could ultimately set them free, or they can cling to their liberal bias and blindness and remain shackled and enslaved in their hopeless denial. Who needs Comedy Central when the parade of clowns just won't go away? Trickle Up Poverty is a blazing flamethrower of truth that burns through subjects such as how President Obama's policies are crushing the middle class, the societal suicide of open borders and illegal immigration, the curse of Acorn, czars, the healthcare fraud, and other such America-destroying horror stories. Written in a passionate, full-auto style, and painstakingly researched, each chapter will arm you with a stockpile of intellectual ammo. Michael Savage swings a literary crowbar of truth and writes with a sledgehammer style. This is very good. This is like Walter Winchell. He pulls no punches and goes right for the jugular with facts, not vacuous hyperbole like hope and change. Mr. Savage is my kind of radio host and my kind of writer. I crave all things bold, unapologetic, defiant, witty, and smart. Trickle Up Poverty satisfies my cravings, and then some. Read it and then dance naked around the campfire of truth. If anything, trickle-up poverty exposes the radical Marxist governing abuses and ideologies of the Obamacrats. Mr. Savage not only exposes how the Marxists in power are doing their best to destroy America, but offers antidotes to their intentional ultra-destructo Sololinsky playbook with pragmatic common-sense solutions that would cause our forefathers to nod proudly in agreement. Mr. Savage is their kind of patriot. Mr. Obama and his army of Fedzilocrats, not so much. One of my jobs is to cause liberal loons to thrash about in uncontrollable anger. Trickle-up poverty will cause idiots, commies, socialists, Fedzilocrats, and various left-wing apologists and assorted bloodsuckers to overheat instantly and then spontaneously combust. Burn, baby, burn. Trickle-up poverty is intellectual ammunition. Lock and load. Every American who wishes to return to the great American way should read this book and gift it to everybody he cares about. Ted, thank you. How can liberals with mental disorders this advanced be treated? Is there a medication? Or in fact, is this show, The Savage Nation, the best therapy?
Savage.